That's why I see him in my shirt.
Shot. No shot. With Cap and Jay Hood on ESPN 1000 and the ESPN app.
That's why I see him in my shirt.
Good morning and welcome into the Cap and Jay Hood Morning Show. Here on ESPN 1000 and streaming on the ESPN Chicago app. With David Kaplan, Jonathan Hood with you. We've got Shay, we've got Charlie, we got you on a Bears Monday. Time now for Shot or No Shot, and it's brought to you by...
That would be PointsBet Sportsbook at Hawthorne Racecourse. Download the PointsBet updated app right in time for Monday Night Football. You got NBA, you got NHL, you get the lightning bets right during the games. It's a lot of fun. And the Club Hawthorne mobile wagering app if you want to play the ponies. Good morning, sweetheart. Register to win $12,000 cash on January 1st at any Club Hawthorne betting bar.
That's no way to talk about your wife. We turn over now to Shay.
That was Secretariat.
Oh, it wasn't her galloping through the...
No.
Okay.
My wife makes a lot more noise than that.
So I've heard.
I'm going to leave that alone.
So I've heard.
Oh, boy.
You've had enough already.
Freaking racket when she comes in.
You should give me a hug because you haven't seen me in over a week. You should. Now you're back into the toy store. The toy store.
Yeah.
So you can just act out.
It was very nice to be away. It's very nice to be back in my routine.
Here's Shay Norling.
Good morning, fellas. How are we doing on a Bears Victory Monday? It sounds like a Victory Monday these days now that we have good losses and protecting draft position on the board.
Well, I'm not happy because another 3 hours wasted. Actually, a little under the 3 hours because the Bears didn't have any punch in the second half. That thing was over. Cap was on at 2:45 yesterday.
2:45, like at 2:30. Anthony Durunda, our executive producer of the football show. Guys, can we start heading to the studio? I'm like, it's 2:31. What are you talking about?
It's old school.
Hey, this game's going to be over shortly.
Yeah,
they're just running the ball.
That game was like old school.
Wani with his bad knee, we're hobbling down the... We get in there. Yeah. All right, let's go!
Yeah, in under 3 hours, still a disaster. All right,
well,
Shay.
And the game was over much longer before 2:30 as well.
This is true.
It was brutal to be reminded what the Bears were like when they weren't entertaining. We had a nice little five-week stretch where they were losing, but at least they were entertaining. Mm-hmm. Yesterday sucked. So I want to get into this losing streak. The Bears are in the midst of a five-game losing streak. They are approaching the longest mark in franchise history, which was 8 games. Their next 3 games come against the Packers, Eagles, and Bills.
Oh, boy.
And should they lose all three, they would potentially set the franchise's longest losing streak ever at 9 straight against the resurgent Detroit Lions. Shot or no shot, this Bears team will break that unfortunate record.
That's a shot.
That's a shot.
The injuries they've got, if Justin doesn't play, the offensive line... let alone being in shambles from injury, stinks. Their receiving core is decimated. And their defense couldn't stop St. Francis de Sales. So we got problems.
You got that right. It is it's a shot that is going to happen. And this is with or without Love at quarterback for Green Bay. I don't know who's going to be the quarterback. I don't think it matters. Because the Bears' defense is just now, it's not just bad and ineffective. Now you're missing players, key players. So that's one of the reasons why that this is an opportunity to break the record for ineptitude on this Bears season. So I say shot to that. Shay.
All right. I want to ask about their receiving core that Cap says is decimated. Darnell Mooney likely done for the season as the Bears wait test results on his ankle injury. They fear a season-ending surgery is on the horizon. Equanimeous St. Brown was seen limping after an apparent right leg injury late in the third quarter. So this leaves an already lacking receiving core depleted with Chase Claypool as the presumptive wide receiver one. Shot or no shot? With an increased workload, Claypool needs to prove he can be a top wide receiver for the Bears going forward.
I just don't... Hoodie, maybe you...
What do you mean?
Jump all over me and tell me I'm nuts. I don't think you can prove that with this crew right now.
Well, it's... Okay, so Justin Fields more than likely won't be playing. But Claypool needs to get in the mix, though, Cap.
I don't disagree, and he was their leading receiver yesterday.
Well, what does that say? It's the world's tallest little guy there.
Right. So that's my point. Let's assume he goes out and Simeon plays, or Justin, whoever it is, Peterman, and he catches 7 balls for 90 yards and a touchdown. That doesn't prove anything that he's a number one receiver in the league.
I like to know that the move that the Bears made can be able to help this team for the future. Like, if you make this deal for Claypool, obviously you think he's part of your future. As, again, maybe a third wide receiver. I like for him to be able to catch some balls out there, because I think he felt good for the, what, 2 receptions he had yesterday. He felt good because I'm sure that, you know, some backfield there at Hallis Hall, I'm sure Simeon has been throwing passes to Claypool and to Pringle, those guys that don't get the ball.
Right.
I'm sure they're not part of the ones, right? I guess.
Well, and to be clear, I'm not asking if he should be a one in the league. I just want to see, you have an opportunity to prove you can be somewhat productive on this team in the future. That's all I'm really asking.
Yeah, I think he can be productive. He's a solid player. I just, would I have given up a top 35 pick, potentially?
It's going to be the 33rd pick in the draft.
Okay, I would not have done that.
Especially if you are trying to tank on purpose.
Right. You're telling me that you, okay, let me ask you a question. If I said you could trade Claypool for Christian Watson, he went 37 or 38 last year, who'd you rather have? I'd rather have Christian Watson.
I get it. Especially with that offense.
See that guy run on that touchdown? Yeah. He's 6'5".
Yes, but he'd be a dope in blue and orange. That's the difference.
Probably right.
That's what it comes down to, the hat you're wearing.
So there's
does it not, Shay? It comes down to who you're playing with.
To an extent, but I also often, and I've said this before, I also often wonder if it's just bad teams pick bad players, good teams pick good players. Like, the Packers got Christian Watson because they identify talent better than the Bears do. It's more what I think it is, rather than just like, oh, he wears a Packer helmet, so he's got to be good, or he wears a Bear helmet, so he's got to be bad.
Are you truly telling me that every single GM that rolls through here is dumb? Or do they get dumb because they're in an organization that doesn't have the correct processes?
Or does the organization hire the wrong guys because they don't identify talent at any level?
Was Jerry Angelo a dumb GM? He got you to a Super Bowl.
He was not a dumb GM.
No.
No.
Phil Emery, he was bad. That was a bad hire.
At the most simplest form, Shay, what I'm telling you is that when I say that if Watson was with the Bears that he wouldn't be any good, that's also predicated on the system and the players around him.
Yeah, absolutely.
That's all I'm saying. That's all I'm saying. Like, if with the Packers, you're playing with Aaron Rodgers, it's hard for you to suck.
Correct.
That's all I'm saying. And with Justin Fields learning on the job, or with Simeon, it's a different story. That's all I'm saying. I think it's clear. I would say that Darrington Evans. You ever stay at the Darrington?
I never stayed at the Darrington.
Oh,
it's in Evanston.
Yeah, it's a beautiful place.
Yes, it is.
Charlie, have you been to the Darrington?
Never been to the Darrington.
Oh, it's a wonderful spot.
I don't spend a whole lot of time up at Evanston, I got to be honest.
It's a wonderful spot.
It is. Got a really nice walking path.
Has a nice, behind it. It has a little chocolate right on your pillow.
Correct.
When you come in, it's really nice.
Correct. They have fresh coffee and tea.
Oh, it's wonderful.
Even a decaf, if you want a decaf when you come back from your walk.
A nice Danish, if you care to have some Danish.
Sounds like Correct. Jack Sanborn runs this place. Wayne Hoodie's gushing about it.
How about Jack Sanborn? 15 tackles yesterday. Take that.
Oh, Jack Sanborn. Sanborn.
Looking like Roquan Sanborn out there, man.
All I'm telling you, man. All I'm telling you, our guy, Sanborn, getting it done. But I'm going to stay at the Darrington for the rest of the season.
Yes.
Very nice.
They have a suite available. Special.
A Bears fan.
$2.99 a night.
Bears fan, even though he's on the team. Go ahead. What else? Yeah.
When he carried the ball the first time.
Say, who's 21?
Literally, Alex Brown goes, who's that guy? Right.
Seriously.
I don't know.
Evans. Who is it? Who is that guy? I had no idea, but he carried the ball nicely.
9 carries.
That goes to your point now, by the way, when Evans is able to do that, and it's like, well, you know, I'm just telling you, anybody can run the football on with it. Like, I guess so.
That's Carmen Yurt. Get the right O line up there.
The league. The Cardinals had James Conner die for 6 weeks, threw Eno Benjamin back there, and he was fine. Happens everywhere.
Who is that guy with Leslie Frazier's number? What is that?
Derrick Henry died last year. Titans got the 1 seed.
So it will be interesting to see. You know who the biggest free agent offensive player is this year? It'd either be Orlando Brown, the left tackle from the Chiefs. That's who I want the Bears to sign. Saquon Barkley. Does somebody overpay to get Saquon? He's a great player.
It's tough.
He's a running back.
Yeah. Tough decision.
Yeah.
Shay.
All right, Trevor Siemian started his day hot. I'm sure Eddie could not contain himself. Eddie on the north side, the big Trevor Siemian fan. He was using his running backs effectively. Got 59 yards on early checkdown routes. Hit Chase Claypool for 31 yards on a 50-50 ball. And threw a blistering touchdown pass to Byron Pringle. So after that, 7 of 16, 59 yards, an interception, couldn't do anything, sacked twice, shot or no shot. Trevor Siemian proved once and for all, Fields' lack of passing production is a team issue, not a Fields issue.
That's a shot. It is a team issue, that is for sure, because you need, to have pocket presence, you need time. And an offensive line is rickety. And by the way, God bless Olin Krutz and those that know the offensive line better. It's great to get in the weeds with the offensive line. All I know is that that offensive line is not holding up long enough for the quarterback to be able to throw the football or run the football, whatever. Like, I know, like, this guy's supposed to be doing this. All I know is that the quarterback's getting run over because they're not holding their time as the offensive line. So to get pocket presence, you need time. And so I think it's a system issue.
But I told you there were moments where they were at about the 12-yard line. He got a clean pocket, man. We froze it, and Mustafer had his guy locked up, and Braxton Jones had his guy, and whoever was still in there had his guy. And there was not one receiver that had an inch of separation.
Right.
None. What are you supposed to do?
Gotta get that in the offseason, too.
Correct.
So I would say that's a shot.
There were moments early, I texted you guys during the game, where some of those check down routes, especially, I think it was Evans that ran the little hitch right between the tackles and just stopped his route about 5 yards down the field. I feel like we haven't seen those routes called when Fields is out there, and I'd like to see more of those.
Simeon's just got a better pocket presence. I mean, that's a guy you have out there, Norling. You don't know. I knew that call was coming, man. 7:30. I knew it. I saw the game. I'm like, you know what? We're going to get that call. I don't know, Kip. I don't know.
I was trying to come up with an over-under for it, for the number of those calls.
30 minutes into the show. Hey, Kip. You're going to get that call.
Wow.
You'll get it later. Hey, Kip. Kip. Kip.
Yep.
I'm telling you, it's Siemian. Good pocket presence. Might be a quarterback controversy. What? It's gonna happen.
It started in 5 seasons.
It's unbelievable. But some
yesterday.
But some prefer that though. The immobile quarterback in the pocket getting
correct.
Killed.
Correct. I would also like to ask Luke Getsy.
Yes.
You had to shoot your quarterback up with Toradol, allegedly.
Sure.
Correct? To get him out there.
Sure.
Because he's a tough guy.
Yep.
Why on 3rd and 1 did you run a little like whatever that play was where he just got destroyed?
I mean,
it wasn't even a straight ahead sneak. It was like trying to dive off the right side. Blasted.
For what reason?
That was a Justin call, not a Siemian call.
Correct.
I don't know why they called that for him.
Justin's not in there. Oh.
Larry Borum's going to have a tough film review when they get to that one, man. I mean,
doctor. Man, you're right about that.
Oh, doctor.
More on the Bears and their loss to the Jets. Should we be expecting better defense out of Eberflus? We'll hear from Matt Eberflus on that. Also, Trevor Siemian with some thoughts about his oblique. Cap and Jay Hood, morning 7 to 10.
Don't miss the conversation.
Cap and Jay Hood.
Tell your smart speaker to play ESPN 1000.
Cap and Hoodie.
Bah, 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 bah. And listen to Cap and Jay Hood at home and in the office.
Now, back to more Cap and Jay Hood on Chicago's home for sports, ESPN 1000.
Captain Jay Hood, morning 7 to 10 here on ESPN 1000 and the ESPN Chicago app. Mike Greenberg comes your way at 10. Carmen Yurko, 12 to 2. We Waddle and Sylvie from 2 to 6, Bleck and Abdallah 6 to 8, into Freddie and Fitzsimmons 8 to midnight, all part of the mix right here on Chicago's Home for Sports.
A little quick plug for our friend George Offman. He did a two-part,
kiddo.
Tell me a story I don't know with Sylvie.
Mm-hmm.
I listened to part one. Very, very good.
Mm-hmm.
So I retweeted it. Highly recommend that you listen to the two parts on Sylvie. It's very cool.
Are there things that we don't know about Sylvie on that show?
I think it just speaks to his resolve. And he's had roadblocks thrown in him his whole life. He wasn't, you know, like you and I. None of us were pro athletes. And he was in Estherville, Iowa. And then battled and grinded. He's down the dial with me. He comes here as a reporter. He gets a chance. He and Carmen, then him and Watt. And now he's Sylvie.
I'd push back on the...
Congrats, Sylvie.
Yeah, congrats, Sylvie, but I'd push back on the pro athlete thing.
Why?
Well, you know, I played for Mongo.
Oh, you did play for the Slaughter for a game.
I was in the Arena League, you know.
I was in the Adult Men's Baseball League.
I'm just saying, it was a capacity crowd to see me be the guy on special teams. 312-332-3776 is our phone number.
Nobody hit that guy.
So I'd push back on the none of us was a pro athlete, you know. Me, Waddle, and Yurko, you know.
That's it.
Combined.
Me, Carm, and Sylvie were just kind of hanging out.
You know, I'm just saying.
That's it.
Back to the phone lines.
So I retweeted it. Highly recommend.
All right, back to the phone lines. We talked to you about the Bears and their loss against the Jets and where the Bears stand right now. Right now, if you're just joining us, the Bears are at the number two slot for the draft as we sit here because Lovie ain't going to win any games.
Do they have a chance at all?
No.
I got to look up
Cap, no.
And they're not even playing Davis Mills anymore. It's Kyle Allen.
Yeah. The Houston Texans will lose out for the rest of the season. So they're not relinquishing.
So they're going to finish 1-15-1.
Yeah, they're not relinquishing the number one spot.
Okay.
And why would you at this point? They don't have any talent.
Their schedule left for them, they have lost 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6 in a row. They're home against Cleveland.
Mm-hmm.
That's Deshaun's return. He starts practicing this week. He's been going through in the facility, but he'll be the starter. In Houston. Cleveland at Houston. You don't think Goodell went, should we give him 10 games? They open up in Houston in week 11. Give him 11.
So, Shay, away from the storyline that we know what it is, right, with Watson, Browns just won a tough one. You not?
They beat the Bucs in overtime.
Okay.
Big win yesterday, too. Kept their hopes alive.
So, you're breaking form to try to appease what? If they would have lost that game, you'd have cause to be like, all right, we lost the game. We don't have a chance. All right, get in there. You going to break form just to start a fire?
They're going to start them. What it looks like.
Okay.
So they get Cleveland at home, loss. At Dallas, loss.
Yeah.
Home with Kansas City.
Oh, yeah.
Loss. They lost to the Bears. That's how bad they are.
At Tennessee, they should have won that game.
Mm-hmm.
At Tennessee, loss. Home with Jacksonville. Probably a loss, but that's one, maybe, at Indy and Jeff
loss.
Saturday
loss.
Playing for his job.
Yeah, loss. That's it. That's it.
At best, they're going to finish 2-14-1.
Yeah, Lovie's losing out. They're not trying to win any games there. So the Bears, at best, I think they will be at the number two spot if the Bears lose out.
Correct.
Makes sense? Sure.
Correct.
312-332-3776 is our phone number. To the phone lines we go. We will say hello to Jordan in Merrillville, Indiana on ESPN 1000. All right, Jordan.
Hey, how's it going, guys?
What's up?
What's cracking?
Hey, you know what? You know, of course, I don't need to see Trevor Siemian ever again. You know, we all agree with that. But what I do need to see when it comes to Justin Fields is I need to see a Trevor Lawrence type a day. Like, I don't know if you guys saw that game yesterday or that fourth quarter.
Mm-hmm.
That shows to me true progression that he's starting to get it as a quarterback. You know, and, you know, he's throwing on time. When he hits his back foot, the ball is coming out. Of course, you know, he has different weapons and all that, but that's the progression that we need to see. Even in that game Thursday with Mac Jones, you saw progression in his game as well. So, you know, of course he needs more talent and the offensive line and things like that. But that's the next step to make sure he's really the guy for the future is progressing in the passing game like that, because that was good to see from Trevor Lawrence yesterday.
All right, my friend, we appreciate the phone call. Yeah, the Jags beat the Ravens 28-27. Yes, that was good on the part of Trevor Lawrence. On the flip side of that, hey, Lamar Jackson, you want a new contract? You're too far along in your career to miss on easy passes like he did late in the game. Come on, man. You got to be better than that. Lamar Jackson. Like, you are a dynamic quarterback and a leader for this football team. You have got to be able to make the easy passes.
But you can't allow Jacksonville to go down the field on you, your defense, and then he threw a dime for that game-winning two-point conversion.
Mm-hmm.
Right where it had to be, right inside the pylon. Touchdown, or a two-point conversion, game over. I was shocked that the Chargers went for two.
Yes.
He had to have known we've got a play they cannot stop because it was wide open.
Now, Staley's a gambling man. By the way, Hoodie, did you see what Lamar did on Twitter yesterday after this loss?
Oh, I did.
I did not. What did he do? I did.
Like, and it's a typical young guy. Goes on Twitter after a devastating loss against Jacksonville and goes after a fan. Now, how much of that can you read?
Oh, I can read enough of it to get the point out.
Okay.
So the fan, when someone is asking for over $250 million guaranteed, like at Lamar Jackson, games like this should not come down to Justin Tucker. Let Lamar walk and spend that money on a well-rounded team. So Lamar Jackson weighs in. Boy, STFU. Y'all be capping too much on this app. MF never smelt a football field, never did bleep, and then I can't read the last three words.
It was a blank a blank.
It relates to a phallic object.
Yes.
He needs to just stop. Just, why? Why do that? To some Twitter egg?
Are you looking in the mirror when you say that, or?
Who do I go at like that?
I mean,
ever.
You do go at people on Twitter that disagree. It's a good debate.
No, I laugh with them, and I go, like, when they tweet at me, you can go back through my timeline. I got nothing to hide there. They come at me, you know what I say? Appreciate you listening. Take that. That's where Take That started.
Understand, but again,
I used to be the idiot 8 years ago. I told you, my wife is standing behind me. She goes, you can't hit send on that. I said, F that guy.
Yeah.
He has four followers. Why do you care? And that's where Take That started.
I understand.
But I don't ever do that.
Well, you can't say ever. You can't say ever. You have. My point is that we all, in a certain situation, especially when people are not armed with knowledge, go at us or go at others and just say what they want to say. And, of course, we feel like sometimes we have to respond. That's what Lamar Jackson's doing. See, he's no different than us or anybody else.
But not in a profane way. I don't think I've ever gone like that. And I can tell you the last several years, you suck. Appreciate you following. Thanks for listening. Take that.
Well, I'll have to learn. He's got to learn too. You can't be doing that. And you shouldn't have your phone with you, especially with the Twitter app after you lost a game. After you win a game. A public figure and a quarterback in this league. Mm-mm.
Sending tweets from the locker room like he's Kevin Durant.
Yeah, that's exactly right.
It's just not worth it. It's not worth it, Cap. Southside, Chase is on ESPN 1000.
Hey,
good morning, Chase.
Our guy.
Hey, good morning, fellas. How you guys doing?
What's up, Sparkles?
Not much, man. How you guys holiday?
It was great, man.
Awesome.
Spent a lot of time with the family. Good to be back in the studio.
That's good. Hey, Cap, I want to ask you something. I got a thing. Like, so, Nikhil Harry and Alex Leatherwood were inactive, right?
Mm-hmm.
So my thing is this, if these guys aren't good enough to play over Larry Borum or Dante Pettis or Brown or Velus Jones, then what was the point of signing these guys if you think these guys – because obviously if these guys aren't active, then what was the point of signing them if he doesn't – because to me that shows – that's enough, because if that is the case, and isn't that an indictment on polls also that – you brought these guys in, and obviously these guys can't see the field. So if these guys can't see the field, wouldn't you say that's another indictment on Paul saying, hey, you brought these guys in, and obviously that's like Claypool. He's not getting any targets. He's not effective. So is that more of an indictment on Paul, or what would you say about that? Now hang up and listen.
Okay, appreciate the call. In my opinion, you might disagree with me, Johnny. The Claypool thing is different. You gave up big-time draft capital to get that guy.
Mm-hmm.
If it doesn't pan out, that looks bad for Ryan Poles.
Yep.
But it's way too early to make that judgment. Leatherwood, you claimed off waivers. All it cost you was some money that you have $1 billion of cap space, so nobody cares.
Mm-hmm.
He was a first-round pick. Yeah. You think, we'll get him in our building, see how he is. If it doesn't work out, nothing ventured, nothing lost. You cut him. Who was the other one he mentioned? Oh, N'Keal Harry?
Yeah.
He was the 32nd overall pick. You got him for a 7th-round selection, who probably won't make your roster. I got no problem with him rolling the dice on 2 first-round grade talents that didn't make it where they were. The Claypool thing's different.
The last two are just a bottom of the shelf. Let's see how he works in our system.
Bingo.
Like, I saw as an SEC fan, I saw Leatherwood. He was a monster at Alabama. Just hasn't worked out on the NFL level.
Correct. And we don't know if he's immature, if he's got issues. No one knows. For Oakland, or Vegas now, to have moved on from last year's number one, Leatherwood,
mm-hmm.
and the year before's number one, who they just released him as well. They're just cleaning house of all the Mike Mayock guys.
All right, coming up,
Cleveland Farrell.
We will hear from Courtney Cronin, who covers the Bears for ESPN Chicago. We'll get her thoughts from inside the locker room. Cap and Jay Hood, morning 7 to 10.
Cap, Jay Hood.
Follow on Instagram at Cap Jay Hood.
This is ESPN 1000, Chicago's home for sports. Now, Courtney Cronin.
Double C.
Bears insider. And Irish dancer?
I was an Irish dancer, probably like 10 to like 13.
Takes you into Hallis Hall on Cap'n J Hood.
It's a Bears Monday on the Cap'n J Hood Morning Show here on ESPN 1000. Bears lose to the New York Jets. And so we turn to Courtney Cronin, who covers the Bears for ESPN Chicago. Courtney, with us here on ESPN 1000. Good morning, Courtney.
Morning, guys. How are you?
Double C, what's up?
We feel
not
like
much.
We feel like 3-9 this morning. That's how we're feeling.
What else did anybody expect, though? When Justin Fields isn't going to play, I mean, this is the look that you get at how much of a load he carries when he's in there, and then when he's not. Clear discrepancy all across the board. But yeah, I don't think anybody should have expected anything other than what we saw yesterday in the Meadowlands.
So explain to me how they juggled the O-line, because Reef went down. So how did that whole O-line end up shaking out for the majority of the game?
Yeah, it's interesting because the snap counts this morning, I don't know if they messed something up on it, because they had, Larry Borum played 48. He played 48 snaps of the 57. So it's, Riley Reiff, I think, was in there for 8 before he went down, and we didn't really learn much about his injury at all. They put a designation on him, and then he never came back in. So then he was out there for Borum was out there for the majority of the game. But the one that was kind of interesting to me was Tevin Jenkins, because it looked like he didn't go in until the second series, but apparently they have him down on the snap count for 57 snaps. So I guess either there was something there, we missed it, but I think that was a good sign that he was back yesterday because of the because of the injury that he was dealing with the week before with his hip. So that's a good sign there. But, outside of that, the injuries, you can kind of take your pick, guys, of, like, which one you want to talk about, because they were all across the board. I feel like the weird thing to say, but the offensive line kind of got away the least scathed than any other position, considering the Eddie Jackson injury, the Darnell Mooney injury. I know Chase Claypool had a visit to the medical tent. And I think even at the end of the game, Borum was dealing with something, too. So there's going to be probably a bit of new names on the injury report this week, and some that, unfortunately, sounds like they're going to be headed towards IR today or tomorrow.
It's interesting, the whole quarterback quandary right before the game. I never expected, just based on your reporting, I just never really thought that Justin was going to play on Sunday. And so then it's Trevor Siemian, is it Nathan Peterman? What's interesting is the pregame uncertainty from Robert Saleh, the head coach for the Jets. He says,
"We were preparing for Fields, and the only difference between Fields and the other two kids is the quarterback run game. So the whole, all the pregame stuff, nothing changed. It was, it didn't matter. Once Fields was out, we were playing a completely different game."
Yeah, I mean, he fell for the okey-doke. I don't think we did.
I'm kind of surprised by that, to be honest, because, I mean, I guess their gamesmanship sort of worked. I mean, was it necessary, though? Not really. I mean, you saw what happened. When you have an undermanned defense like that that's missing Kyler Gordon, Jaquan Brisker, then Eddie Jackson goes down and, you know, the onslaught continues, they really, no matter who was playing quarterback, it wasn't going to change the, you know, what the outcome of the game. But it's weird because the way that they announced it about 30 minutes before the game was that Simeon was going to be the backup because he suffered an oblique injury in warmups, and that Nathan Peterman was going to be his starter, or the starter for the Bears. And then you find out, like, that was publicly put out by the Bears Communications Twitter account. And then apparently Bears PR staff was, they were going around telling everyone in the press box after that, wait, Trevor Siemian may actually start. But they didn't make another official announcement, probably because they didn't want the back and forth of, wait, you guys just said that Nathan Peterman's going to start. Now what is it? It's Trevor Siemian. So I think that that's why they held off on not publicly announcing it. They may have gone too quickly on that, because there's, you know, obviously the communication between what's going on in the training room, what's going on the field during pregame warmups, and also the player, too. I mean, that's we've heard a lot the last couple of weeks from Matt Eberflus about how the system works. First, you have to be cleared by the medical staff, and then it's up to the player, can I go, can I not go? And then the coaches have to have the ultimate say after, you know, first off, you have to be cleared first, but is this player good to go based on what we've seen in practice? Is he not? So I think Trevor Siemian, what he said post-game was that, you know, he felt embarrassed that he had gotten an oblique injury in warm-ups of all places, and that his teammates have been dealing with a lot worse. So you can, in kind of hearing from him, understand why he wanted to force himself to play through that, because it was a pain tolerance thing, not something that was going to keep him from playing in the game. So it was probably, I don't want to say like cross lines of communication. I really think, though, that the communication was changing every minute to where we didn't know until the offense goes out. Granted, you know, the Bears won the toss yesterday, so we see the Jets up first. But until Trevor Siemian trotted out there with the offense, it was anybody's game, which is just, it's just crazy to think how this whole thing played out. And I'm really looking forward to learning more about it throughout the week, about how the whole thing unfolded during warmups.
So, Courtney, where are we with this franchise? Because Darnell Mooney looks like he's done for the year. I don't think you're going to see Eddie Jackson. Justin Fields, I'll be shocked if he ends up playing. The meatball in me wants him to beat Green Bay and then shut it down. But I understand, Hoodie and I both feel like if you shut him down right now, it's probably the prudent thing. So at the end of this season, where are they? How far away are they? Because all the money in the world and a bunch of draft picks does not mean you're going to the playoffs next year.
Exactly. And I think that that's something that you need to take into consideration. Like, they have a lot of priorities that they have to address in free agency in the draft, first of which is the defensive line. Like, again, yesterday, the inability to pressure the quarterback outside of the sack that Armon Watts got, I mean, that's, it's a problem. But they've got so many holes that they still need to fill that I need people to stop comparing everything to the Cincinnati Bengals and expecting that to be the norm for what a rebuild looks like. Mm-hmm. Sometimes you hit on picks. Sometimes you can draft a generational wide receiver to go along with, to play with his college teammate, and sometimes things work like that. The Bengals had a lot of issues on their offensive line, though, in spite of the rebuild, and you saw what happened in the Super Bowl last year with how many times Joe Burrow got sacked there throughout the season. They were still building that. It wasn't that everything was fixed after one season, so Bears fans need to realize that's not the method. Any team, that's not the method that you follow for like a quick fix rebuild. That's putting a Band-Aid over certain things, but eventually you get exposed. So they will have an opportunity with a ton of financial resources, 8 draft picks right now, potentially more, to continue addressing needs. And I mean, what we can expect and what you can hope for the next couple games, like if your timeline's right, Cap, that if they shut him down this week, continue to keep him, you know, sideline, let him heal from the shoulder injury, and then bring him back to the Eagles game in week 15, you have 4 weeks there to evaluate him as a pocket passer, see if there's ways that he can win from the pocket, though it's going to be hard behind this offensive line. Like, it's not that you can just like use the final 4 weeks and expect that you can hone in on all these little things and it's going to be a perfect product that he can carry into 2023. There's going to be a lot of work to be done there, but I think where this franchise is headed, I mean, this has been they're on the path that they're supposed to be on. It's no one ever said this thing was going to look pretty. Mm-hmm. It looks really ugly right now, and yesterday's loss was just, you know, was not good at all. I think that there's a lot to be, you know, critical about, certainly the performance of this defense, but you also have to realize what's clouding that. It's all the injuries. It's the offensive line play, and it's the fact that your best player wasn't out there.
Courtney, lastly, and we appreciate your time. So from the other side, watching the Jets, Cap and I have been talking about how the Jets were built, and of course, Mike White got hot yesterday against the Bears, you know, putrid defense. But what about their sustainability? What they have, is that sustainable for them to have winning ways under Saleh moving forward?
Well, we thought they were going to have to win the game on defense yesterday, right? Mm-hmm. Like that you take Mike White, you put him in there, you hope that he can just operate the offense because he's a quote-unquote system quarterback. I don't know if they're going back to Zach Wilson anytime soon. I really think that because they looked so efficient. And I know people are going to say, take it with a grain of salt against the Bears defense. There were times where, you know, he's just the way that he was reading everything on the field and how efficient he was at orchestrating a passing attack that I think you can carry those things over and expect Mike White to be able to operate that offense against whoever they're playing. It might not look like 31 points. In a complete beatdown the way it did yesterday. But the Jets are a good example, I think, of what the Bears can do too, because they're built on their defense, not saying at all that the Bears have to be built that way, and they're not going to be because everything here is structured towards the offense. But just the way that they handled free agency last year and the way that they handled the draft, they gave Zach Wilson Breece Hall. They gave him Garrett Wilson. Elijah Vera Tucker was already there. And yeah, injuries have affected multiple of those positions that I just mentioned. But they did things in a way that was very deliberate. And I think that's a way that Ryan Poles is going to handle free agency in the draft. Because now you know. Like, there's no question. You know exactly what the Bears need. You know exactly which positions along the defensive line, where on the offensive line, what type of receiver you're looking for to continue to build this thing going forward next year.
Courtney, as always, we appreciate your time. Thanks for coming on the show.
Thanks, guys. Have a good one.
Great day.
It's Courtney Cronin, brought to you by Wintrust, Chicago's bank. Watch our show on Twitch, twitch.tv/ESPN1000Chicago, brought to you by DraftKings. The Arizona Cardinals lost a thriller yesterday, but did Kyler Murray bust toss his handsome head coach? We discuss it coming up next. Cap and Jay Hood, we are on weekday mornings at 7.
Take that.
Cap and Jay Hood. Jay Hood.
This is Chicago's home for sports. ESPN 1000.
Watch us and join the chat. Follow ESPN 1000 Chicago on twitch.tv or the Twitch app.
Captain Jay Hood on ESPN 1000 and on the ESPN Chicago app. Shay, there's been so many storylines. A lot of people are not happy with their team and their organization. Here we are, week 12, right? And all of a sudden, on sidelines, we're seeing some explosiveness, some issues. It's not been with the Bears, but other teams for sure. So, Shay, what's going on? And we've been watching very closely the Arizona Cardinals and Kyler Murray.
Yeah, they might be the most disappointing team in football this year, actually, among them. Maybe the Raiders, but
why
the Cardinals are certainly.
Broncos
got to be number one.
Broncos, right? Certainly, but the Cardinals are up there in that group. And lost a game yesterday, 25-24. Riverboat Staley went for a last-second two-point conversion. Chargers get the W. Mm-hmm. Cardinals went 3-and-out 3 times in the fourth quarter, but Kyler Murray gets asked about a 4th-and-1 play shortly before halftime, late in the second quarter. And his answer about what happened on that play was interesting. Listen to this.
No, it wasn't. That wasn't for Hop, actually. Schematically, I mean,
we were kind of effed.
Oh, man. He's going after his head coach there when he says schematically. You know what he's talking about.
You mean Kingsbury. I don't know if I would take it that maybe he is.
What?
But sometimes the defensive coordinator sees what you're trying to do, and he comes up with a really good defensive call. It doesn't mean your whole system is effed. So, it means that play, they sniffed it out. They get paid too.
For additional context, what happened on this play, and Murray said it wasn't run for Hopkins, Murray ended up targeting Hopkins deep and got picked off. Mm-hmm. Now, he said post-game the play was not drawn up for Hopkins, so that's him improvising, mm-hmm. and then adds, schematically, we were effed. that's tossing your coach.
All I know is this, Cap.
A little more context there.
Well, all right. All I'm telling you is that your head coach, and when your player has his own press conference and it goes schematically on that play, we were effed. He's talking about you and your coaching staff. You wouldn't like it. You'd hit the roof if one of your players said that. Cap, go back to – go. Give me that cap. Don't give me to the grandfather, you know, Naples, Florida cap. Give me 1984 cap.
Okay. What I would probably do, that guy
– oh, man. Be swinging on him.
We keep in-house. Did they sniff it out? Yeah. But you don't tell them that. You keep that stuff inside our walls. You don't go to the media. But obviously, their relationship is not where, like, you keep that stuff in the family.
Yeah.
Well, they also scream at each other on the sidelines. They're kind of used to getting picked up on this. And, Cap, I don't buy for a second that that's the way you would do it. You'd be throwing a chair at the
Everyone
kid like,
on the baseline. Let's go.
Oh, my God.
I would, as I'm telling you, I would be, we would have a one-on-one meeting, and it would not be pretty.
It would not.
What are you doing talking to the media and throwing all of us under the bus? We're all family in here.
Oh, I know what it would be like.
When you pay a guy, would they give him $170 million, whatever the number was?
Yeah.
To whom much is given, much is expected, and a leader doesn't conduct himself that way. But again, there are a lot of reports. All you got to do is do a little digging and read that he's a jackass in that locker room. Jackass. I'm talking about Kyler Murray.
I understand. So and you know who's going to get the fall for this?
The coach.
Yeah.
He'll walk away with all his money. Mm-hmm. Here you go, coach.
They just signed extensions. This is the craziest part.
I know.
The coach and the GM. I know. And the quarterback.
I mean, they have to try to figure this out for at least for the rest of the season, but they have been wildly disappointing, Shea.
Once again, it's a moment where if you're a Bears fan, you can look around the league and just know, at least right now, the arrow is pointing up. And you're not one of these teams that's stuck with either a deadbeat coach or a deadbeat quarterback that doesn't want to get better or a lot of drama. Or you're not the Broncos. You're not the Cardinals. You're not the Raiders. You're not some of these teams that are just super disappointing. That's a way worse place to be. It's just a little solace.
Boy, can
you can find as a Bears fan.
Imagine being the Broncos going,
let's ride.
Let's ride, Bronco Nation.
Mm-hmm.
That jackass had to get an office in the facility. And he's not well-liked by his teammates. He's a kind of a toolbox. And he's playing poorly. And you're like, oh, I don't know if we hired the right coach or not because we're getting short-circuited at every turn.
Mm-hmm.
And, oh, by the way, we gave up 4,000 draft picks and gave him $250 million going forward. Like, you've cast your lot with that guy.
That could be the Bears. That easily could have been the Bears because he was rumored to be here.
They tried.
Yeah. Yeah,
they tried. Now, it would have been a year earlier, but they were going to give up a satchel full of picks.
If it's a Bears Monday, that means Alex Brown, our favorite Gator, will be joining us coming up next in 2 minutes.
Go Seminole.
On ESPN 1000.
Broncos country, let's ride.